Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Good evening once more on Intimate Moments. This is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We love you. We appreciate you. In the studio, I'm joined by Muruti Kahlulo Milatu, the servant of the Lord. Welcome.
Tovela, Tovela, Mr. Thompson, and greetings to everyone who's listening in the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
I suppose the Lord has laid something very, very interesting in your heart.
Yes.
What is it?
Beautiful, beautiful. The title is simple, just Restoration Through the Holy Spirit.
Hmm.
That's it. Restoration comes from the Holy Spirit. He's the one who brings restoration in our lives. He's the one who brings restoration in our families. He's the one who brings restoration in every area of our lives.
You said to me off air, I should read the book of Ezekiel 37.
Why?
Beautiful.
Because the book of Ezekiel 37 describes and prescribes to us how restoration takes place. Okay? It's a story, it's a beautiful picture, a story that depicts restoration and how God restores the people of God.
Mm.
For example, here, Israel was in captivity, okay? They had lost so many things. They have lost their geographical place where they used to stay. They had lost their reputation. They had lost their power. They had lost their riches and everything. And now they are submitting to their enemies. And at that particular moment, that's when the word of restoration came. God saying that he will restore them.
Ezekiel 37.
Powerful, powerful chapter.
The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he said to me, son of man. Okay, number two. Then he caused me to pass round about them. And behold, they were very dry. Or very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry.
Mm.
Three. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered. So I answered, Lord God, you know.
Mm.
Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, surely I will cause spirit to enter into you, and you shall live. Right? Six.
Yes.
I will put my spirit upon you. I will put my... Okay. Okay, number six. I will put sinews upon you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I love that.
That's powerful.
I am the Lord. Number seven. So I prophesied as he commanded me, or as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling.
Hallelujah.
And the bones came together, bone to its bone. Should I continue to read?
I think we can wait there.
For nice,
we
can wait.
Nice. Thank you so much, Mr. Thompson, brethren. The first thing that
I appreciate.
Yes. The first thing that we pick up from there, Mr. Thompson.
Yeah.
Before Ezekiel goes anywhere, says anything.
Mm.
The first thing he says, the hand of God. Remember, during this time, it was early years of Babylon exile.
Uh-huh.
Okay, the Israelites were under Babylon.
Uh-huh.
It was Elias. In other words, at this particular moment, people had lost hope. People are discouraged. People are sad. People
I can
are
imagine
that there's so much pain in the lives of the Israelites.
Man.
But the first thing he says, the hand of the Lord.
I love the hand of the Lord, because when the hand of the Lord is upon us, all things are possible.
All things are possible.
Talk to me.
That's
talk
true.
To me, Murud.
And obviously, God is a spirit.
Mm.
He doesn't have a hand.
Mm.
Okay? So it is an anthropomorphic term. It is a term that explains God like he's a human being.
Mm.
God, I mean, like he's He's unexplainable, okay? However, but because of our flawed minds and because we use earthly vocabulary, we have to attribute human things to God, like the voice of God, the hand of God, the feet of God, okay? You get what I'm saying? So he says that the hand of God, by saying that, he's talking about the authority of God, that the authority of God was upon me. He's a heavy hand. I mean, the hand of God is so heavy.
I love this revelation.
Yeah. The heaviness of God was upon me.
Yeah.
God himself, the way he describes his presence was so divine. But it was a moment of misery, but the hand of God was involved.
I suppose someone says, I receive because indeed the hand of the Lord is upon me. It's a fantastic story, this one, and it teaches us to know that, hey, God is in charge.
God is in charge, Mr. Thompson. So, restoration, firstly, let's establish this fact number one. Fact number one, the restoration will never come unless the hand of God is upon us. So the hand of God, when it's upon us, I'm telling you, it will be followed by restoration. Where the hand of God is, we will see the evidence. You're not going to go around claiming that, hey, the hand of God is upon you. It will be evident. We will see that. Let's all amren, lemodimamoto. Even when you minister, even when you live your life, even the way you express your purpose and your calling, the things that God has imparted in you, we will see that indeed the hand of God is upon you. Now, he goes on to say in verse 1 that he brought me out by the Spirit. The first thing that we saw is the hand of God. Now, we see the Spirit of God. These are intertwined, harmoniously working together to fulfill the divine calling and the purpose of the kingdom of God. He says that he brought me out by the Spirit. By bringing out, it means that I left the place of carnality. I left the flesh and the Spirit took me out. You see, when we operate in the realm of the Spirit, we are not in control. But the Holy Spirit, he's the one who brings us about. He brings us out. He takes us into places we've never been before. And hence why we depend on the Holy Spirit in order to declare the things that are prophetic and spiritual. There is no way we can prophesy and proclaim accurately without depending on the Holy Spirit. So restoration is ignited by the hand of God and by the Holy Spirit.
Now we see how God speaks at that particular moment.
Yes. Glory to God. That we see how God speaks.
A question was asked, can these bones live? Directly to the man of God called Ezekiel.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, exactly. Can these dry bones live? Because remember, the Spirit took him and brought him to the middle. The Bible says in the middle of the valley. It was not at the corner. It was not at the beginning place of the valley, but in the middle of the valley. In other words, he was positioned in the realm of the Spirit where he can see all the bones from the beginning until the end in the realm of the Spirit. So, in other words, God brought him right in the middle so that he can be familiar with the condition of Israel. That Israel from the beginning to the end, it is so dry. Israel from the corner to that corner, it is so dry and it is hopeless. So that after being familiar with the situation, you can now depend on. So the caution had to come after he has witnessed the condition of the bones. So sometimes God wants you to be so familiar with the state, and then so that when he asks you a question, you can see or it is impossible, God, for this situation to turn around.
I love that. Moreover, we believe that God can restore our lives.
Definitely.
Financially, spiritually, family-wise, our social life, our work life. Actually, you often say he's not limited. He's omnipresent.
Hallelujah.
So he can do all things, you say.
Very true. He can do all things, Mr. Thompson. Look what's happening in verse 2. He says that he led me back and forth among them. Why did God do these things? Is it not by coincidence? He took him in the middle of the valley of dry bones so that he can witness the whole state, and he did not end there. The Bible says he brought me back and forth. Why? So that I can see the extremity of the situation. You see, because there's no way we will appreciate the work of God if we do not see the extremity of the situation. We have to see the bad state of the church in order for us to experience and be grateful, to experience the power of God and be grateful, okay, for God, for this wonderful work that He is doing. So as we look at the state of Israel, here is bad, but God made a way where there was no way.
No, my family, we continue with the conversation. It is such a great privilege to have Muruti Kahlulo. We started very nicely, so he requested me to read the book of Ezekiel 37. I love it. Murut.
Tobe.
Verse number 3. Yeah, Ezekiel.
Yes.
And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" So I answered, "Oh Lord, you know." Kitabala live for.
Yes.
Again, he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, we see how the man of God was very honest.
Very true. That's very important, Mr. Thompson, to note that honesty plays a very, very significant role in the ministry of the prophetic and also in relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way that God will operate using people who are not honest with Him and with man. Okay, God wants people who are truly, truly, truly honest and sincere about their faith, okay, in God. So, but firstly, the first thing that we need to witness is that from verse 2, he says that the bones were very dry. Not just dry, Mr. Thompson, but it puts in the seriousness of the condition, okay, very dry. In other words, that it was undeniable that the state of Israel was so serious. But even in that seriousness of the state of Israel, God was going to do the things that were considered to be impossible. There's nothing that God cannot do. If you look at the state of the church, if you look at the state of your life as an individual, if you look at the state of everything that is happening around you and you see dryness, do not say that God cannot do anything about my situation, because God is able to intervene even in dry situations.
My family, we're talking about restoration through the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful.
You wanted to say something, sir?
Yeah. That restoration, for it to come, we must firstly acknowledge the bad news so that the good news can be demonstrated.
Okay, all right.
Look at it. The bones were very dry. That's the bad news. But the good news is that God, the all-powerful God, was very much available to change situations around. Can these bones live? These are the bones, but bones live. I thought human beings can live.
But bones.
Well, wonder if it was a human being, with eyes and yet with no breath, I can say, yeah, definitely there's hope. But yet these are just bones.
Hey.
You see, God was showing the seriousness of the situation, that even though it is so serious, what seems to be impossible with man, it is possible with God. He makes a way where there is no way. He's the God who is all powerful.
Now, he did make a way for Israel for 40 years. Just to agree with you there.
Exactly.
And he made a provision for them. You and I, my family, wherever you are, we are saving the God of the covenant. He will make a way, as the servant of the Lord said.
Hallelujah.
And he answered, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you know."
Sure. You see, the way we address God says a lot about our attitude towards Him. Address God the way the Bible addresses Him. Bazalwane, God must be called according to His word. If His word did not call Him a gandla, do not call Him that. Because the names of God, they reflect His nature and his character. Every name of God. So the moment you say El Shaddai, you need to understand that it speaks about him being the Almighty God. When you speak about him as El Olam, he speaks about him as being the God who is eternal, who transcends time, space, and matter. Now, if you talk to him and say you are the sovereign Lord, there you have spoken about him being in authority. No situation is above you, and no situation is too hard that you cannot change. So he says that you sovereign, you see, acknowledge the sovereignty of God in your life, then you will see the restoration taking place. Because the restoration will come when we acknowledge God as sovereign.
Now, he had a huge responsibility to actually speak
powerful
to the situation. Talk to me about verse number 4.
Verse 4, he said to me, prophesy. Listen, it was God who told Ezekiel to prophesy. It was not Ezekiel who said, God, I am prophesying now. Can I prophesy? It was not Ezekiel who was initiating. In other words, the prophetic, it is ignited and initiated by God himself. God is the one who gave him authority to prophesy. Children of God, God has called every believer into the prophethood. In other words, that even though you may not be having the gift of prophecy, you may not be in the office of prophecy, but however, you has been given ability to hear God and speak his heart. So prophesy as he commands you. Speak his word boldly. Declare his mysteries boldly. Speak about Jesus boldly. Preach the gospel boldly. And do not fear, because if God said you must do it and you will see the result.
Now, you will see the result because you are called by the name of the Lord. And since well you are called by the name of Jehovah God, he will become who he is in your very own situation.
Powerful.
If you are thirsty, he will be water to you. If you need money or food, he will be Jehovah the provider.
Sure.
And the man of God says we should actually identify or call God according to his names.
Very true.
If you need peace, he will be Jehovah Shalom.
Definitely, definitely. So even in this state, he had to prophesy according to the commands of God. Listen to the command. The first thing that he says, yo, I wonder how Ezekiel saw this. Listen to what God says. He says, prophesy to these bones. You see, God, if you said I must prophesy to a human being, I would have done that. But these are bones. And he said, say to them. I must say to them, do they have ears? Hey. You see, the bones did not have ears. But because it was the Lord who was talking, my goodness, they got to have ears. We do not know how, but they must obey the Lord. Remember Jesus Christ, as he was, the disciples were in the boat and there came a furious storm. The Bible says that they were afraid and Jesus Christ, they woke him up. And when he woke up, what did he do? He calmed the storm. Does the storm have ears? No, it doesn't. But when God speaks, it doesn't have a choice but to submit. So even this situation, the seriousness of the state of Israel had to come into submission to the word of the Lord. And he says to them, say to these dry bones, in other words, call them as they are. Do not try to call your situation good when it is bad. Do not try to call your situation fertile when it is infertile. Do not try to call your situation that it is better when it is not better. Call it as it is and trust God that God, you are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask of or think of according to the power that is at work within us.
In conversation with the servant of the Lord, Pastor Kahlulo Milatu, I love what you are really sharing with us, my family. You are also enjoying this. I want us to look perhaps in the next talk as we progress.
Yes.
Jesu in the New Testament in terms of restoration.
Sure.
We will actually link up with this one. Because when you read the Bible, Jesus was delivering people. He actually, you know, said to the storm, peace be still. Right?
Yes.
You know, they brought him, or rather they brought people into the ministry where he was ministering. He cast the demons with a word.
Mm.
People were delivered.
Mm.
So I want us to look at him as well and link up with the book of Ezekiel.
Powerful.
But let's continue a little bit, Mfundis.
Glory to the Most High God.
Mm.
So he says that now, verse 5, it says that, okay, verse 4, he says that dry bones hear the word of the Lord. He doesn't say dry bones should hear my opinion. He doesn't say dry bones should hear my suggestion. But dry bones better hear the word of the Lord. Now, another thing that we have to establish, restoration cannot come if we do not depend on the word of God. The ministry of the prophetic acknowledges and honors the word of God. Because how will you prophesy if you're not prophesying the word of God? How will restoration be made manifest if you do not depend on the word of God? The situation will never hear anyone's opinion, anyone's philosophy, anyone's ideology. But the situation can only hear the word of God, who from the beginning said, let there be light, and it was so. Nature submitted to him because he's the one who commands as a sovereign God. So we too, the saints of today, we need to go back to the word of God and say, by the word of God and the authority of the word, we are bringing life into existence by the authority that God has given us. We are the prophets, for we are called into the prophethood of all believers. Bible as it continues now, verse 5, it says that, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. Now, what's that? It speaks about the Holy Spirit.
All right.
It is the promise. He says, I will.
Uh-huh.
He's not saying, I am making the breath enter you. Because it is a sign that it was a promise that I will make breath to enter you.
Well. We are enjoying this conversation. Now, let me read Matthew chapter 8 from verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. My family, we're talking about restoration through Jesus Christ. And earlier on, we read the book of Ezekiel 37. I want the servant of the Lord to explain and talk in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. Thank you so much, Mr. Thompson. Now, brethren, in this text, before we see Jesus Christ teaching from the book of Matthew chapter 5, from Matthew chapter 5, he's been teaching the people, okay? Teaching people in the mountain, teaching people. Now, after teaching the disciples and all that, the Bible says that he came from the mountain, verse 1. Matthew chapter 8 verse 1. When he came down from the mountain side. In other words, he taught in the mountain, but on the valley, he's not going to teach. He's going to demonstrate. You see, what we learn in God, okay, the restoration message that we learn from God, the gospel message that we learn from God, shouldn't end in just a teaching, but it is a demonstrative type of a message. It must be demonstrated. Apostle Paul says to the church in Corinth that when I came to you, I did not only come in word, but I came also by the demonstration of power. So restoration should not only be preached in words, but it must be demonstrated by the power of God. Says he entered. Say, the Bible says that as he came down, the large crowd followed him. Okay? That's the authority of Jesus Christ. When he comes, Bazalwani, the crowd must follow him, and where he leads, we are following, because he has power and authority to demonstrate his power so that we can believe. Okay, so the audience there, the great multitudes, they were there so that they can witness this beautiful thing that Jesus Christ was about to do. Now, verse 2 says that at that particular moment, there was a man with leprosy who came to Jesus and knelt before him. Okay, number one, this man, he has leprosy. During those days, a person with leprosy, leprosy was a skin problem. So once you had leprosy in Israel, you were considered to be unclean according to the ceremonial law of Moses. So the person of leprosy or a leper had to be taken out of Israel and be secluded in the outskirts or the places far from where people live so that you can live alone there. However, this man, when he heard about Jesus Christ, he had to come to Jesus Christ, and he was not allowed to do that. So when Jesus Christ comes, he breaks the barriers that separates you from him. So restoration, it is the desire and the passion of Jesus Christ in order to do what? To bring you into your rightful state. Am I talking to somebody today? You are right there alone, secluded, and people consider you to be a sinner. People consider you to be unrighteous. People consider you to be a useless person. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ has broken the barrier by the power of the cross and the power of his blood. He says that I can stretch out my hands to you and you can receive me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says that a man with leprosy, he came and knelt before him. The word is proskuneo. Proskuneo, it means kneeling down to give him honor and worship. So he came and honored Jesus. So look, listen. Do not look at your outward appearance and live as though you have confidence. No. Acknowledge the fact that you have leprosy in your life. Acknowledge the fact that you have the insufficiencies in your life. Acknowledge the fact that you are imperfect, and go before the Lord in worship. Kneel before him. Say, oh, sovereign Lord, I believe you can make me well. That's an attitude we need to have towards the Lord.
I love that attitude. Mm-hmm. Should we portray it?
Yeah.
Because your attitude, my family, determines your altitude, your destiny.
Yes.
Where you would be.
Mm.
Talking about restoration through Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
And we see how Ezekiel in verses number 4-5 prophesy, son of man, and say to these bones, all you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.
Hmm.
This one, the leper, says, I am willing. And Jesus was willing. Heal me. Immediately he was healed.
Glory to God.
There is no distance with the Lord Jesus.
Sure.
He is able.
Very true. He is able to do all things. If you allow him, he will do it. The Bible says that he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. He says, Lord. The word Lord is curious. Okay? Curious. It's the same attitude that Thomas had toward Jesus. Remember, after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and Thomas bowed down to him and said, Lord, my God. How curious mukai, how theos mo in Greek. So he calls him curious. He is his Lord. Lord, it means the one who is in control, the one who is in charge, the one whom we report to, whom we account to. He is the one who is in control of our life. So he saw him as the Lord who is on authority above him. He saw himself as nothing and he saw him as everything. Similar with the attitude of John the Baptist. Remember, he said that he is greater and I'm lesser. Let him increase so that I may decrease. That's the attitude we need to have before the Lord, that we are nothing and our righteousness before you is like filthy rags. And then we acknowledge that we have a problem so that he can give us the answer. We acknowledge that we have the bad situation before us so that he may restore us by the powerful glory and power that he has. He said this words in verse 3, that Jesus Christ reached out his hands and touched him. Hey, you know, according to the law of Moses, if you were clean and you touched someone who is unclean, then that person who is unclean would make you unclean. So in other words, their uncleanness was powerful over your cleanliness. Exactly. So even here, the man was unclean, and Jesus Christ, who's clean, touched him. But here's a beautiful thing. Jesus did not be unclean. Jesus Christ touched this person in the middle of his uncleanness, and Jesus was never unclean. Why? Because in the state of Jesus Christ, his holiness, it is immutable. He is a perfect holy God, forever and ever holy, and nothing can make him unclean. And he touched him anyway. May God touch you as he touched this man of leprosy. May God touch you and change your life completely.
Indeed, he will, because he is able to do exceeding, Muruti, abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power which is at work inside of us. My family, you can be restored because Christ came for us on our behalf to save the lost. Murut,
Tobe.
I love when scriptures talks.
Yes.
And they talk and they talk. They show us clearly that our God is in charge and our God is able. Right?
Tobe.
Let's finish with some few nuggets of pearls of wisdom that you would like to encourage the saints.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, as you continue with the very same verse, the Bible says Jesus Christ said to him, I am willing. I am willing. You are here right now, wherever you are, whether you are at home or at work, wherever you are, God says, I am willing to restore you. I am willing to change your life. I am willing to save you. I am willing to bless you. I am willing. And after saying he is willing, he doesn't end there. Look what he says. He says, be clean. After he has expressed his intention that I am willing, he did not end there. He did not only have good intentions, but he showed good demonstration. So after he has revealed his will, he revealed his mercy upon this person by demonstrating that I'm healing you. He said, be clean. And immediately he was cured of leprosy. Immediately. Hallelujah. So may God intervene in your situation immediately. May he do it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Kahlolo. Reaurat.
Ah, lena ke a lerata.
Bona, hey, mhlanga morena. Reaurata.
Glory to the Most High God.
Thank you so much. Amen. We are continuing and we are summarizing re kwale taba ya runa in a nice way.
Beautiful.
All right.
Glory to God.
I'm so excited to have the servant of the Lord. Muruti.
Glory to God.
What a message.
Hallelujah.
In season for us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right?
We bless the Lord. We bless the
now,
Lord.
Now, we just want to look at stories or things that we learned.
Beautiful.
That we can say, Lord, help us to be doers of the word.
Yo.
Because already you have spoken to us.
Glory to the Most High God.
Talk to me, Murut.
Yes, Mr. Thompson, we will be looking at just the summary, the comparison of Ezekiel chapter 37 together with Matthew chapter 8. These passages that we read, the story of the valley of dry bones and the story of the man who had leprosy. Okay, now, firstly, we will be looking at number one, the condition. That the condition of the valley of dry bones was so severe and so serious, and it was so bad, so terrible, that the bones were there, they were many and they were dry. And it speaks about the situation of Israel. And now in the book of Matthew chapter 8, we see the man with leprosy, his condition is worse, but he's alone. So in Ezekiel 37, the bones were many, but here we see one man. So in other words, God doesn't look at the number, whether you are many or whether you are alone, he can intervene in your life. That's that. So the valley of dry bones, many bones were there and they were dry. The story of the man of leprosy was there and the condition was bad. That's the condition. Secondly, we'll be looking at the hopelessness of the condition. in the book of Ezekiel that he said that he took him back and forth in the middle and the back and forth, and he witnessed that, yo, the situation is so extreme, okay? So the condition of this man was so extreme because leprosy, the person who had leprosy, they were taken outside Israel. They were put there to lie in the borders, okay? They were secluded from the people of Israel because they were considered unclean. So now both the situations were hopeless, and God intervened anyway. You may look at your situation and see hopelessness. I'm telling you that there is hope for those who trust in the name of the Lord. Those who trust in the name of the Lord will never be disappointed. Thirdly, we see dependence. In the book of Ezekiel 37, we see now Ezekiel depending on God for the restoration to take place. That we establish that there is no way restoration can ever take place if we do not depend on the Holy Spirit. In the realm of the Spirit, we are not in control, but He's the one who is in charge. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 8, we see this man depending on Jesus Christ. The Bible says he knelt to Him and he honored Him as a Lord who's above. So it is a sign of dependence to God. So we need to be a generation that seeks to depend on God. Restoration of the Holy Spirit and by the Holy Spirit will never take place in our life if we do not depend on God, because God wants people who are dependent on Him, not people who are arrogant, not people who are prideful, not people who trust in their monies. Hence why even the writer of Psalm David says that some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but as for us, we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Do not trust your sword, do not trust your shield, but trust the one who is in control. Fourthly, we see the demonstration of the power of God. In Ezekiel, after there was a prophecy, the Bible says that the bones came together. There was a reckoning. The sinews came and the breath entered into the bones and they came into life. That's the demonstration of the power of God. And in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 8, we see the Bible says that now the power came upon this man and leprosy left him immediately. So that's the power of God in demonstration. So we need to acknowledge that there is no way life and restoration can happen without the power of God. We need to be a generation that seeks the power of God. Apostle Paul says, I did not come to you only in word, but I came also by the demonstration of the power of God. Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, okay? Love and of a sound mind. Power is comes from the Holy Spirit. Lastly, we see the result. The results.
I love five. The results.
The results. The Bible says that the bones came together and there was the mighty army.
Yeah.
The mighty army. That's the result.
Yeah.
And in the New Testament, the story that we read, we see the results. The results, what is it? The man was cleaned.
Now,
and he presented himself to the priest.
In addition to that,
yes,
the bones stood up. It says it was an exceedingly great host.
That's it.
Because like you emphasizes always the Holy Spirit. The bones were entered by the Holy Spirit.
They stood.
Huh?
They stood.
That is restoration.
Restoration.
They stood and appeal. What lessons are we drawing there?
Beautiful. There is no way life can happen outside the Holy Spirit. Remember God, after creating a human being, okay, from the dust, He breathed into man, and that's when man became a living soul, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is the one who brings life. He's the Spirit of life. Hence why we call Him the Spirit of a living God. And hence why His word, we call it the living word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So He's the Spirit who speaks the word and brings life into our situation. So that's a lesson that we need to pick up from that story. And secondly, another lesson that we need to point out is that the Bible says that it was the great army.
I,
great host.
You touch it before. It was a great what?
army or a great host. Yes, exactly. So in other words, they were dry bones, but now they are a great army. So it takes faith in God to see what, to see potential and possibility of the transition of the state. The prophet Bazalwane, prophetic people should not lose hope. You see, when we are prophetic, when we, being prophetic, it means you are not hopeless. You carry hope. You see life where there's no life. You see peace where there's no peace. You see transformation where there's no transformation. That's why it is an error for a prophet to say to a sinner that, God cannot change you. God can change everybody. A prophet must have an eye greater than that of an eagle. Must see beyond situation. Must see hope where there is no hope. Must see possibilities in situations where there is impossibility.
Now, my family and Pastor Kahlulu, Jesus went into the church, into a synagogue, and the scroll was handed to him.
That's it. And he read from Ezekiel chapter, Isaiah chapter 61. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. In other words, all the administration that I'm doing on earth, it comes from the fact that the Holy Spirit is upon me. Brethren, unless the Holy Spirit is upon us, we remain useless. We remain are not functional. Bazalwane, we need the Holy Spirit in your life. Listeners at home, we need the Holy Spirit. As if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit for his earthly ministry, how much more we who are still remaining on earth, we need the Holy Spirit to bring restoration. Once the Holy Spirit comes, we will preach the good news to the poor. We will declare the year of the Lord's favor. We will set the captives free. We will cleanse the lepers. We will raise the dead. We will heal the sick by the power of the word of God. We'll be telling them that God is restoring us back into a place of health. God is restoring us back into a life of wholeness. God is restoring us into a life of peace, and most importantly, into a life of relationship with him.
Pastor Kahlulu,
hallelujah.
My family is summarizing his conversation. It's so powerful.
Glory to God.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Most High God.
Now, the Bible says, as we close, in 3 John, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Would you say in 30 seconds, it is God's will to restore us back to him?
Perfect, perfect. Remember, the guy of leprosy, he said, God, if you are willing, make me clean. God did not entertain that caution. He acted. In other words, it is my will. So God, it is his will for him to heal us, to prosper, that we may prosper and be in good health. It is 100% his will.
Rapela Murutuaka.
Glory to the Most High God. Listen, as wherever you are, just close your eyes and let's trust God together for restoration. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that restoration should come to our lives individually. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, bring restoration by your Holy Spirit. Just as you restored the valley of dry bones, and just as you have restored the life of a man of leprosy, may you restore us in the name of Jesus Christ. Restore our spiritual life. Restore our physical life. Restore our financials, my state, oh God. Restore every area of our lives in the mighty and the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You're found on Facebook.
Kahlulu Alpheus Melad.
Shalom.
Glory to the Most High God.
The words of the Lord are words of life. Your heart is on 657 AM. 657 AM. Radio for believers in action.